This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
And unfortunately, my wife dropped that line on me that a lot of police officers have heard. It's either me or the job.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 42 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me this week on the podcast. I appreciate you tuning in and listening. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be doing this. So I appreciate the support that you've been giving me with the podcast. And the best way for you to support is to go over to whatever platform you're listening to us on and leave a review. That's how you can support us the best. I want to go ahead and get into this gentleman I have joining me today. He's 13 years in law enforcement. This gentleman is the author of two fantastic books, 101 Health Tips for Police Officers and Mental Health Fight for the Heroes in Blue. He's a certified public speaker. He's a first responder wellness advocate. He's a U.S. Marine. Thank you for your service, sir. Please welcome Mr. Scott Metlin. Scott, how you doing, man?
I'm doing outstanding, Anthony, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on this podcast and help others out there.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And for those of you that have listened to the podcast, you know I lead every podcast off with the same question. And Scott, that's very simply, why law enforcement?
Bit of a backstory. When I was a young kid, I was waiting in the car for my mother to bring my brothers and I somewhere, and I looked up the street and I saw a man who, it was a small enough neighborhood where everyone knew everyone, and I saw the guy. I knew he didn't live in the neighborhood. He was walking back and forth from door to door, but he was not your typical door salesman by any means. He was standing right at the doors when he would knock, and then he was looking into windows, and I was getting scared because he was getting closer and closer to our house. I told my mom about it. She got nervous. She called my dad. He said, you need to call the police, and then we left. I just remember thinking, I want the police to come protect me. And that's when the gears started turning. And then the older I got, the more I realized, you know what? I would like to do that for people who call 911. But also, I watched Cops a lot growing up, and I liked what police did and how it wasn't a boring job by any means. And that's what really got me interested in it. So it was a matter of wanting to be of service. But I know that's kind of cliche. It was really just the dynamic function of being able to do so much in one job that really attracted me to it.
When you get into this profession, you never realize that you have to wear so many hats, you know, and once you finally got into the profession, was it what you thought it would be?
It was. I was fortunate enough to be able to do an internship when I was in high school. I did hundreds of ride-alongs, and I saw the behind the scenes, hey, you have 10 minutes of action here versus 2 hours of paperwork afterwards. So I had the right understanding that it's not all what the movies make it seem to be. And I'm not one of those that go in craving action by any means, but let's face it. There's a little bit of attraction to that, whereas it's not as boring as sitting at a desk, which I'm not knocking people who do that, but
like I said, you've had 13 years in the profession. Has all your time been in patrol?
No. In fact, I'm just doing it part-time now. I was 12 years in a city, and now I am part-time in a university campus police. I've worked patrol. I worked patrol for 5 years on my own, and then I was canine unit for 3 years, school resource officer for 3-4 years, and then I moved over to the part-time position because I wanted to make the leap of faith and dive in really to speaking to law enforcement officers all across the country about wellness. Because I don't come to you as someone who knows it all by any means. I come to you as someone who has gone through the pain of depression and an addiction and PTSD. And I don't want other officers to go through that. So overall, 13 years experience and numerous assignments throughout the career.
When we're cops, we all have side hustles, if you will, that we get into. And if you've listened to my story, everybody knows how I ended up in law enforcement. It wasn't because I wanted to be a cop. It was because I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And this was a way for me to get the money I needed to start the business that I wanted to start at the time. And when I did your introduction, I listed a number of things that you're into, one being an author. How did that come about?
January of 2020, I had learned for the first time that over the last few years, more police officers had died by taking their own life through suicide than those who were actually killed in the line of duty. I didn't know that. And I think that's a problem that I didn't know. I mean, I'm a 10 plus year veteran at that point, and I didn't know that. That means a lot of other cops didn't know that, which means there's more of an internal threat going on than an external threat. And I'm not undermining the external threats by any means, but I felt called to act immediately. And it was like God just opened up my heart. And I was thinking, what could I do? What could I do? And just that thought of write a book, that came into my mind. And I said, well, here we go. I'm going to write a book about this because I've had experience, unfortunately, of I mentioned those things I've been through before, but also just learning throughout numerous sessions being in the psychologist's office. And I'm open about it. I don't mind talking about it. And I figured I could research more about how the mind works, how we're not as tough as we'd like to believe, and then how we need to cope with the job. And I put it all on paper.
Now, the first book, 101 Health Tips for Police Officers. Was that the first book that you wrote, or was that the second one?
That was the second one. First one was Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue.
Okay. Can you get into what the book is about?
The first part is basically how we are human. Bottom line, we are human. Our brains are wired no differently than the average human who is not in law enforcement, not in the military. Like we are human, so we can be affected by what we see. Our brains, when we wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you're thinking about? Possibly and probably food and water. You think about what can make me feel good. It's all this innate wiring of the brain. Nobody wakes up and says, or at least no decent human being wakes up and says, I want to go see someone who's been a victim of a violent sexual assault. I want to go see a bloody homicide scene. I want to go see this, that. No, our brains are not wired to see that. And in fact, they try to protect us from ever being exposed to it. Hence why when shots are heard inside of a mall, everyone's running the other way. And yes, police have to make that tough decision to rely on the training to go in. But that's what the whole first part of the book is about. About how we as police are affected by what we see, and you have to actively cope. So I had to go into how the brain is structured and how we relive the experiences, which generate thoughts and emotions, which can lead to bad actions on our part. And then I go into signs and symptoms to be aware about when it comes to PTSD, depression, anxiety, because like I said, this internal threat of officers who unfortunately have died by suicide, it's like if they were more aware, if they had been aware of what was going on, would they still be alive to this day? It's no different than if an officer were on a traffic stop and had they noticed this one more thing about that was jeopardizing their safety, would they be alive now? Right now, would have survived whatever happened on that traffic stop. We are so zoned in on training external safety things. And yet I think overall, we're still lacking in overall awareness and mindfulness and focus on internal threats that can happen inside of us because of what we see. So I go into that. And then the latter part of the book is different ways to cope with what we see, different ways to bring about happiness in your life and feeling fulfilled versus drinking a lot at the end of shift or just being miserable and hoping you can reach that 20, 30 year retirement and then just all of a sudden magically be happy. And then at the last part of the book, there are experts who write excerpts about how their method of treatment, whether it's life coaching, psychology, or neuro-linguistic programming, they write excerpts as to how you can get professional assistance to help you along the way.
I have not read either book yet, but I do plan on purchasing both of them and reading them. If someone wanted to get the books, how can they get them?
If you go to Amazon and you type in, well, you know what? Don't if. Just go to Amazon, type in Scott Medlin. And my two books will come up, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue and 101 Health Tips for Police Officers. Like I said, I am coming from a place of wishing I would have known this stuff earlier. And I'm writing and I wrote these books to help officers not go through what I went through.
This interview was such good timing because the last couple of weeks, I have been really trying to educate myself on this subject. Mm-hmm. And I've discovered, let me back up for a second. 2020 was a shit show. And a lot of good things has come out of that shit show. One of them being this podcast, your books. I've talked to other people that have become motivated and inspired because of something that happened in 2020 to do something good. And you are speaking my language because that internal issue we have going on as law enforcement officers, it was something for me personally, I never realized was occurring. And when I started researching this topic, I started asking myself and I started looking back at my career. And in my last episode, I talk about this. I was working the front desk. A gentleman comes in. He and I have this big confrontation. I'm pissed off about it. He goes on about his business. About 30 minutes later, a lady comes in to make an accident report. And she comes up to the window. I was working the front desk. And I say, "Can I help you?" And she looks at me and she says, "Well, I was coming to make an accident report, but you just looked at me like, what the fuck do you want?"
Oh, no.
You know, but I didn't realize my mindset was still back dealing with the previous asshole.
Yep.
And we go through that day after day, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, and we never deal with it.
Right.
And when I look back at my own career, I realize that now. Mm-hmm. And going through it, it was something that I did not realize. Like you said, a lot of us don't get it or don't recognize it. And my question is, why do you think that is?
I think it has a lot to do with, one, some people are worried if they ever say that something is bothering them, they're going to lose their job. I understand there's that concern. I also think it's not taught in the very beginning. I think in fact, I have a strong belief that if the rookie schools, police academies, whatever you want to call them, they start teaching self-help. They start teaching people to be aware of their emotions, their mindset, how they're doing physically, then we can change this language. But right now, it's just go do what you got to do to serve your community, answer your calls well, get your reports done, make sure you're doing everything under policy, which I'm not knocking that. Yes, you have to do that. But it's everything opposite of taking care of yourself. I was always just shocked and surprised that, unfortunately, after every use of force I was ever a part of, it was, "Oh, you're good, you're good, you're good. Okay, go to the report room and write the report right now." No decompression time whatsoever. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like furious right now because this person just tried to hurt me. And it's like, come on now. Give me 10 minutes at least. That kind of thing. I just don't think it's emphasized enough. It really isn't. Now, is there a push being made for things to change? Oh, I believe so. Definitely. But unfortunately, and I hate saying this, but I feel like it's only because so many have died. So many have been affected. But if we can do what we got to do to prevent more from going through it, then that is our way of honoring those who took their own life because they felt like there was no way out. That'll be our way of honoring them.
I appreciate everything that you're doing, man, because it's a topic that I myself have just really started to dive into over the last few weeks. 2020, like I said at the beginning, it was a shit show. And for law enforcement, it was a rough year, you know, on all aspects of the profession. And I recently just saw a stat about the suicide for this year. I think the statistics I saw was from June 11th. And the number was, if I remember correctly, like 63 so far for the year. And it was 172, I believe, last year. I may be off on those numbers, but I'll put the correct numbers down in the show notes. But yeah, man, I think it's a topic that definitely needs to be addressed more within departments and, like you say, the academy and things like that. Just real quick, your other book, 101 Health Tips for Police Officers. Can you go into a little bit about what kind of tips you're giving in the book?
It's broken down into four chapters, mental, physical, spiritual, and social. And each chapter has 25 things that can help you make that part of your health that much better. And I wrote it because in Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, I really spent a lot of time diving into how the brain works, different signs and symptoms to be aware of. And yes, I did go into some coping methods, but I just felt like there was so much more out there. And I did some research of my own to write that book, 101 Health Tips for Police, but also just doing what I've learned from others, doing what I've enjoyed doing to help with my health. And that was kind of the reasoning behind it, just to give someone that many more solutions to the pain they might be feeling, the discouragement they might be feeling, to the depression they might be going through, just to offer some solutions.
Do you feel like writing these books have helped you cope better with what you've been dealing with?
Yes, I do. I do. The more I learned, the more I realized, wow, I was being negative because of this, this, and that. I actually figured out that I really do believe that the acid reflux I was going through was more related to stress than it was bad eating, because I don't eat all that bad. But yet I kept getting this constant heartburn. And then all of a sudden I started being mindful and deep breathing, meditating, doing some yoga, all this stuff that is not really popular here in the States, but it does work. To any officer out there who might feel like they're too macho to do that stuff and you're worried about what others will think of you, then just don't tell anyone you're doing it. I would recommend you pick it up. But anyway, the book helped me realize, I was like, wow, a lot of what I've been going through, I could have just fixed on my own had I been more mindful of it, had I been more aware of it. And any other officer, it all applies.
Again, man, I have not read the books, but I do plan on purchasing both and reading them because, again, for me personally, this is a subject that I really want to educate myself on because my time in law enforcement was from 92 to 2013. And when I got on with my department back in 92, I mean, all the guys were veterans, you know, 15 plus years for the most part because a big hiring influx we had back, you know, in the 70s. So a lot of those guys were the typical old school, get over it, you'll be all right type mentality, you know?
Right. And there is a little portion of that where I would tell someone, I can remember one time, an officer at a department where I used to work saw a knife on the ground at a huge fight and looked back and said, I could have been killed. We're like, well, yeah, we're police. I mean, there's that risk. I want officers to understand, like, if you get into the job, you're going to experience something rough. But the thing is, like, if it bothers you, it's okay to address it. You just can't shove it down and expect nothing to happen out of it. But yes, don't go into the career with a blind eye and be like, oh my gosh, this is dangerous. Well, yeah, but here are the mental and physical tools to cope with it, though.
Yep. And that's what a lot of us don't pursue, trying to get those tools that we need. I want to go ahead and get into the first segment here. And this is what I call Dig Deeper. For those that don't know, Dig Deeper is when I go and I'm nosy and I start poking around my guest social media and I pull up certain posts and I craft some questions around those posts. And Scott, the first post of yours that I came across was actually a Facebook post. It was a quote from Jacko. And the quote read, don't expect to be motivated every day to get out there and make things happen. You won't be. Don't count on motivation. Count on discipline. And my first question to you regarding that post, what keeps you motivated to get up every day and just keep fighting?
Exactly what Jocko Willink said in the quote, discipline. Just the discipline to know if I only live once, I have to have the self-discipline to act, to wake up, to make a difference in this life, because I do not want to be someone who just existed in this world. I want to be someone who lived and made a difference. So it does take that discipline. That's what wakes me up.
When you have a purpose, it's easier to get up and go about your day. The day may not be perfect, but at least you got something to shoot for. And when you're out there just existing, it's hard to get up in the morning because you don't know what the day, I mean, none of us knows what the day holds, but you just have no plan, no guidance, no purpose. And that makes living very hard. And I know for me, when it comes to law enforcement, I think, and I thought about this the other day, why was I able to come out of the profession, given everything that I had gone through, unscathed, for lack of a better term, compared to a lot of others that are suffering with PTSD and other mental issues. And the only thing that I could come up with was I had a purpose outside of law enforcement. Law enforcement didn't define who I was. And I think that was a huge part of me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had my moments, you know, where the profession definitely got to me. But I think had I not had those outside activities going on in my life and was just consumed by everything that happened during those 40 hours, I think I could have been another one of those statistics. You know, but it's important to, like you say, to have that discipline just to get up and just want to be relevant and want to make a difference.
Absolutely.
And I take my hat off to you again, man, for everything you're doing to bring attention to this subject. I want to ask you another question about that post. What area of your life have you been the most disciplined in?
That's a good question. Waking up early so that I could afford time to exercise, pray, read, work on books, work on YouTube videos, or get ready for shifts so I'm not scrambling and I run in late, all already flustered. So waking up early and then exercising. The Marine Corps just beat it into me. Just be disciplined with your workouts. And I've made it a point to stay in shape. Now, if I would stop snacking, I think I'd look a lot better in what I do. But, yeah, exercise I find is a great stress reliever as well. And I obviously write about it in the books, because any officer can see that coming from a mile away. But exercise, but then also the discipline just to keep going, even when like life's going to hit everyone as hard as a baseball bat hits a ball. It's just going to hit. Nobody who goes out there and tries anything is just going to have a coast-free life. If you're doing something on your own, policing or entrepreneurship, there's going to be challenges. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to learn a lot. It's just, you have to have the discipline to learn from your mistake, learn from other mistakes, and just act on it and keep on going. And that's where I've been disciplined as well.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me flip the script here. What area of your life do you think you need to be more disciplined in?
Oh, I'm a snacker. I will reach for a box of chips. I will reach for a box of, I mean, Mike, I have two kids and I buy snacks for them. And I think I eat more of the snacks than they eat.
I'm laughing so hard because you and I are a lot alike, it sounds like. I just turned 55 yesterday, man. And it's funny because my wife and I, you know, we've been trying to do better health wise. And we got on a 28-day fitness program, and the first time we did it, it took us 42 days to do the 28, but we completed it.
Okay.
You know, the second time we went through it, we were a little bit better, but it was a process. When I retired, I think I was 190 pounds. And after being retired now for almost 8 years, I'm up to 225.
Oh. Takes discipline.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to. That's exactly what it comes down to, or lack of in my case. The next post I want to talk to you about, this was another Facebook post, and this was a tip that you had posted, encouraging tip of the day. And the tip was, the job can suck the life out of you if you are not careful. The internal threat can be just as real as the external threats. And my question to you is, did the job suck life out of you at some point?
Yes, it did. At two points in particular, 2011, 2012-ish, I was only a few years on. Well, less than 5 years on. And I got to a point where I was dealing with so many habitual felons, so many violent people, that I just got to a point where I started getting that mentality that the world was full of just bad people. And my supervisor had to tell me, you need to take some time off. And I'm glad he told me that. And I did. And I started hanging around with people outside of law enforcement, and it helped shift my mindset back. And I felt refreshed as well. I was just getting burned out. But yes, I did get that negative mentality where no one could be trusted. Everyone's bad. I was always hypervigilant. I mean, just anytime, anywhere, just DEFCON 5. It was crazy. And then in 2016, I unfortunately, as working as a canine officer, let that become my identity. And it was a very demanding job. It was a very stressful job. And don't get me wrong, I was enjoying it, but the stress and the demand of it was having me work so hard at it that I put my marriage and our firstborn to the side. They were not my focus at all. Like, I was a canine officer in my mind. And unfortunately, my wife dropped that line on me that a lot of police officers have heard. It's either me or the job. And I know people can say till they're blue in the face, Scott, she knew what she was getting into when she married you. No, she did. And that's why she still married me. That's why she still let me get the canine job. But I became so consumed in that it became my identity. And unfortunately, the stress of dealing with a lot of violent people again and running those tracks and going on those hot calls night after night after night, it was starting to get to me. And I put them second. And then all of a sudden, I didn't want to lose my family. And that was a bad point as well, where it sucked the life right out of me, because I almost let my family go.
You guys still married?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we worked on it. I went to the schools at that point, Monday through Friday schedule, a little bit easier, but ultimately made the decision to leave active policing because it still was very demanding on the family. getting pulled in for random events. And when the lockdowns happened and schools were let out because of coronavirus coming through, there was a week or two period where I had to work 5:30 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. And that was just too much on the family. So that was another reason to leave. Just put your family first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the job has sucked the life out of me at different times.
Is there any tips that you could give someone that may not be to that point, or they're going through something similar, but they haven't recognized it, or they're just starting to recognize it? Is there some tips you can give to help them avoid getting to that place?
Speaking from experience, if you see that the arguments are increasing, if you see that you're not going out on dates or having as much fun with your spouse, then that's a good indicator. Cause that's what happened with me. I was more excited about what the next shifts were going to bring, what the next warrant roundup operation was going to bring, than taking my wife out or holding my son, who was a baby at the time. If there's distance growing, or you just don't find that there's excitement, that's not a good thing. It's not supposed to be that way. When you work on a marriage, there's supposed to be constant excitement and love and care for each other. And that was falling away. So if the argument starts, also, if you find yourself in a lot of pain, you're resorting to the alcohol, you're resorting to, or you have started losing friends that you have had for many years, that could be an indicator. I talk a lot more in my book, 101 Health Tips for Police Officers, in the spiritual and social side of all these different solutions you can take on and act on and have the discipline to continue to thrive on, and it can help your family life as well.
Like I say, I look back on my career and, you know, unfortunately, I had two coworkers that took their own lives. I look at the number of divorces that took place in my department. I think at one point, my department, probably 70% of the people were divorced. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But now, like I said, since I've been doing this research and I look back and I think about all of that, I understand why now. Because when I look at each person as an individual and how much they dedicated themselves, like you said, to the profession, and everything else was secondary, I can understand why, you know, that the divorce rate was so high. I mean, we had guys, 2, 3, 4 divorces.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a good thing.
I don't know if it's so much now, but that was a norm in law enforcement.
Yeah, definitely not a good thing.
No, not at all. The last post I want to talk to you about is, this was actually a LinkedIn post, and you commented on Daniel Abrams' post. And his post says, if you're not making mistakes, you're not making anything. And my question simply to you is, what's been the biggest mistake you think you've made in your life to this point?
Another great dynamic question. Let me think. I would say letting the imposter syndrome get to me.
Okay.
Where you sell yourself short. A lot of people do that. And you might not realize it, but a lot of people will say, well, one day I'm going to do this, 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 but I'll wait until this is ready or whatever. That's like you selling yourself short. That's the imposter syndrome where that kind of has a root of, you don't believe you can do it. That's why you're putting it off. If you wanted it bad enough, if you believed you could do it, you would be doing it.
Yeah.
And that's me.
Did that come into play when you were writing the
book?
And
eventually every time that I was writing them, and every time that I put them out there on Amazon, I felt like throwing up. Like, who am I to write this book to help fellow cops? And it was the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was until a life coach actually brought it about and said, was talking about the imposter. You're going to have that imposter voice trying to sell yourself short. Even in podcasts, there's this like hovering energy above me going, no, you're talking bad. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. It's like, what is going on here? But you just can't listen to that imposter. You have to go with that drive, that passion, that courage. And yes, mistakes are going to happen along the way. Don't let the imposter say, see, told you couldn't be doing that. No, don't listen to it. Just be like, well, I learned, and now I'll act on what I've learned from.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of going through that right now with something that I'm working on. And I'll talk to you more about this when, hell, I might as well, I can talk about it now. What the hell? Like I said, the last couple of weeks, I've been really diving into this mental health and law enforcement topic. And I wanted to come up with something that I could do to try to help those that are going through this and dealing with this. Unlike yourself, I did not experience PTSD. At least I don't think I did. I think I coped pretty well with the things that I dealt with on the job, like I said, and I think that was because of outside interests and things like that. But unfortunately, given that everything that's gone on in 2020 and just the occupation itself, what it does to us, I wanted to do something that could help the men and women that's in this profession or that, you know, are recently getting out of this profession. And what I've come up with is I'm putting together a 90-day mastermind, a peer-to-peer mastermind group for men and women that are having situations like this with dealing with mental health issues. And you said something that really solidified in my mind what I'm trying to do. And that is the unawareness of what is taking place internally in us. And that was one of the things that I recognized again in myself. And what I'm putting together as part of the mastermind is I've put together a journal for law enforcement officers. And this is something I've said years and years and years that I wish I would have done when I worked, simply just so I can have all the stories. But when I put this journal together, the reason why I'm doing it is, one, it goes hand in hand with the mastermind, because it's going to force you to identify the most stressful point of your day and deal with it, which is what we don't do. And
right,
when you said that, it kind of solidified in my mind that I was on the right track, because like you said, I was having that imposter syndrome a little bit. You know, I was like, I'm not a therapist. I'm not this. I'm not that. I haven't really suffered like others. So how can I be of help to these people? And then the more I thought about it, I said, well, I can help by just putting this event together and bring people that know the topic from the inside out. And I'm glad I've had this conversation with you, because if nothing else comes out of this, I solidified in my mind that at least I'm on the right track here. And I appreciate you for saying what you said. I forgot what my question was. The mistakes that you have made in life, and we all make them. You know, like you said, life is going to hit you like a bat, and we're not perfect, unfortunately, but it is what it is. You know, you just take your hits and you keep on moving. And that's all I can say to people. You know, if you're going through something right now, you'll get through it, because there's always light at the end of that tunnel. And you just have to have that discipline and that focus to get through whatever you're going through. I want to go ahead and get to the next segment here. And this is what I call the Random Seven. And for those that don't know, the Random Seven is where I have seven totally random, electronically generated questions that I throw out to the guests. And try to answer these the best you can, okay? All right. The first question: if you could say anything to one person in your life without consequences, what would it be?
Suck it up. Get up. Let's get going.
Do you do coaching, by the way? Life coaching or anything like that?
I am going to be going through a course real soon with a program where I'm going to take the course, and then they're going to put me as a mentor for that program. So I really can't say too much about it, because nothing's in writing. But yes, mentoring will start very soon.
Okay. All right. Yeah. When that takes place for you and that happens, feel free to reach back out. I'll be happy to share it and help you get the word out about it.
Well, thank you, Anthony.
Yeah. Next question. What would you do with $1 million?
I would break it down the way that T. Harv Eker talks about breaking your money into he uses a jar system. And T. Harv Eker wrote the awesome book, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind.
Okay.
And it talks about 50% of your money goes towards what you need. And then the rest of it is broken down into 10% of like 10% fund, 10% of financial freedom account, 10% charity, and then 10% something else like rainy day fund, something like that. But that's how I would break it down, just so it wouldn't go away too fast. And I would spend it more on experiences rather than things. I think the only thing I would get would be a Corvette. That's the one car I've always wanted that I don't have. But I would break it down into that system just so it wouldn't go away too fast, and then buy experiences rather than things. But the one Corvette, you got to make an exception.
Yeah, I hear you. I love that car too. That's a beautiful car. I can definitely see see the discipline in you just talking to you. And do you think a lot of that comes from the military?
That's what started it. Yes, just going through it just felt like pure hell at times, whether it be boot camp or actually those two deployments that I did to Iraq, where you had to have the discipline to just keep going. Mm-hmm. yes, it set a foundation. I'm not one of those who's going to say that I'm so glad I got to go to war. It was awful. War is awful. But what I did learn was monumental for the rest of my life.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. And the reason why I asked that is because your answer in response to that question about the $1 million, because it would take some discipline to be able to control yourself like that and break that money down into those areas, you know?
Right. I just wouldn't want it to go away real quick because if professional athletes like T.O., for example, didn't he blow like $80 million? I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. So I know a million's probably not as much as I'd like to think it is.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you, man. Next question. If you were able to live the rest of your life with either the body or the mind of a 30-year-old, which would you choose? I told you these are just random ass questions, man.
Yeah, those really are. I would choose the body because hopefully I could just grow wiser in the mind, but the body.
I hear you, because if you don't have the body to do the things that the mind wants to do, what's the point, you know?
Yeah. What's the point? But that's when I will put in another plug for police officers, consistent stretching and exercising through yoga and Pilates. I have actually, at 37 years old, because I started doing yoga back in 2018, and that was 2.5 years prior to leaving it active, I was feeling much better and more young in uniform than what I was all the other years. So that's just another plug I have to make. And I talk about it in the books. But yes, to keep yourself young, stretch and exercise through the ancient art, I guess, or exercise form of yoga.
Now, so
really life-changing.
I saw a video that you did where you were talking about the external issues that we have. And in the video, you were talking about your duty belt and the weight and the and everything and what it did to your spine. And I never thought about that, but you're absolutely correct. I mean, it fatigues your muscles, causes more stress, and that stress comes out in other ways, you know, but I never thought about that. So I can see where you say yoga and things like that can definitely help you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just one of those things we're not really taught well about. It's a hidden chronic stressor, which is the dead weight of all that equipment. And yes, when your muscles get tense, they start to form your structure, your posture in a way, which can ultimately affect your skeletal form as well. I'm not a chiropractor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional, but this is what I've learned, that tension can absolutely affect your posture, which can affect your state of being physically, which ultimately can affect your mind as well. It's amazing stuff. It just has to be addressed. That's the main thing. We have to address it. We have to be aware of it. We have to act on it.
Yeah. Good advice. Next question. What causes you to just lose track of time?
My cell phone.
Really?
Yep. Unfortunately, I do get distracted from it just like everybody else. I'm doing a lot better than what I used to, but I'll just be on that thing and doing nothing, you know, not serving my life or others in any form or way. Next thing I know, I'm like, wow, that was 10 minutes. You know, so,
yeah. I have one of those health check things on my phone, and I'm amazed at the number of hours that I spend on the phone. Like you say, it's pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about hours per day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. And it's amazing how much we check that phone when there's downtime, and it's pretty addictive.
It is.
I talk about that in my first book, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, how our cell phones are actually not only a distraction, like on a traffic stop where I've seen officers on their cell phones, but it's a stressor as well. It gets you in a dopamine loop, and dopamine is like this feel good substance that released in your mind.
Most definitely.
And whenever you need a hit, you just check your phone, whether it be a text message or social media. And that's what I learned, that it's actually very addicting as well. And it can increase your stress levels when you're constantly having to check your phone versus getting things done, which getting things done is actually more fulfilling mentally and physically than checking your phone. But yeah, it'll suck the time right up.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No doubt about it. Like I say, if you don't have one on your phone, I recommend downloading some type of app that keeps track of the time that you spend on different apps. Because you would be amazed at how much time you just use up on that damn thing. The next question, Scott, If you were reincarnated as an animal based on your personality, what animal do you think you would come back as?
I think I'd come back as a dog, just friendly, but don't you dare mess with the wrong dog.
I hear you. Next question. If you could know the truth behind anyone's secret or mystery, what would it be?
You know, this is going to bring the mood down some, and I apologize, but really, honestly, the bottom of my heart in the city where I grew up in, when I had started in law enforcement, there was a double homicide at a company, and I don't want to get too specific mm-hmm. about it, where two people were killed and the murderer was never found. That is the one mystery that myself and others from that city in that department at the time have always wondered. Just who did it? Where did they go? You know, what in the world? It was just an unsolved mystery.
Wow.
And that is one thing.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it was very heartbreaking. And it was heartbreaking because I knew people who were directly affected by it. But in addition to that, if I could get one more answer, that would be the escape at Alcatraz. Whatever happened to those prisoners that escaped?
There is a interesting episode. I don't know if you've ever seen the show. I think it's the History Channel. It's called Draining the Ocean. And they did an episode where they drained Alcatraz and they drained the water around the island. And they talked about those gentlemen and how the current in the bottom of the ocean there's a channel that comes right through there where it has just built up these just mounds of sand because the pressure is so great as it comes through there that there was no way they could have survived. But if you go back and you watch that episode, they really break it down what probably happened to these guys. It was a great episode.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll look it up.
Last question on this segment. If you could be a character from any movie, who would you be?
Wolverine, because he was caring. He was like the most determined character I've ever seen in a movie, in a way. And he would heal. I don't like getting hurt. I want to be able to heal from it. And he would heal.
Not a bad choice. All right, man. Listen, last segment here. This is what I call this or that. This is kind of my rapid fire segment. I'm going to give you two topics and you just have to pick one. You don't really have to explain if you don't want to, but you can just pick one.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
Spontaneous or planner?
Planner.
Freckles or dimples?
Dimples.
Pizza, round or square?
Round.
Mechanical or technical?
Mechanical.
Bathtub or shower?
Shower.
People person or animal lover?
People person.
Gift cards or actual gifts? And that can be give or receive.
Actual gifts.
Lone wolf or wolf pack?
Wolf pack.
Leather jacket or hoodie?
Hoodie.
And the last one, sense of humor or sense of style?
Oh, sense of humor all day long.
I hear you. Scott, man, listen, it was a pleasure speaking with you, getting to learn more about you. That's what my podcast is about. It's all about learning about the men and women of our profession. I'm happy I had this opportunity to speak with you. I am looking forward to reading your books. Any last words you want to share before we sign off here?
To those law enforcement officers out there who are hurting, who are angry, who are disgruntled, a lot can change when you change on the inside. External factors, very few times can we change an external factor that we might be facing. But if we change the inner way of how we are physically, mentally, and our health and how we look at things, it can help you that much more. And if you are going through that much pain and you are going through that much torment in your family life, your social life, it's going to take you making a decision whether or not to stay in the job, because it is just that. It is a job. It is nothing worth losing your health over so that you die early. You're worth more than that. So really take a deep dive, but act on addressing those pain points in your life and find solutions. They are more than likely out there. And when all else fails, you pray and you will find an answer.
Great advice. Before we go, can you go ahead and share your social media where people can reach out and connect with you? I'm also going to put links to that and to all your books down in the show notes.
Yes, you can go to my website, leomotivation.com, and my YouTube channel, The 10 Code Mindset. The videos are all about what I wrote about in my books, but I also address some modern day things. Like I recently posted a video about how I agreed with how Michigan was trying to propose that officers have a minimum of a blue belt and BJJ, that kind of thing. So it's all about safety as well. And then my website, I am more than willing to speak at departments. I'm going to be speaking at a few conferences, August, September, and October. I want to get this information out. I want to help cops. LEOmotivation.com. You can click the contact tab and fill out a inquiry form and for me to come speak. I'm all for it. I will help you as best I can. So those two things are the best way to stay in touch with me.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, I'm going to put links to all of that down in the show notes. Scott, man, I appreciate you again coming on, taking time out of your day to speak with me. Guys, once again, you know how to support the show. Follow us on whatever platform you're listening to us on and leave a review. We are out of here. I'll see you guys on the next episode. Bye-bye.